Right, welcome one and all. To my left, Aaron Richards.
Hello.
To my right, Rick Ellis.
Hello.
And I am Paul Hazel. Welcome one and all. We start with a quiz, as always, and the first question directed at you, Rick Ellis. The last time Bolton took points off Manchester United was 2007 with a 1-0 win. Who scored the one?
I'm going to guess at Kevin Davis.
No, it was Nicholas Anelka.
Was it? Oh, I thought he sent it my way after that.
No.
Because if he didn't, I was going to say Kevin Davis.
Doesn't it seem weird that Nicholas Anelka was once a Bolton player?
Yeah, and a City player when they were shooting.
Wasn't he at Real Madrid as well?
He went to Madrid, he went to Liverpool.
Arsenal.
Yeah.
Was he at Liverpool, actually?
Yeah, he went to Liverpool.
Bloody hell,
he started off at Arsenal, his first Premier League team.
It seems weird that he's now like an established star of a major force,
doesn't it?
Do you
reckon this is someone just like pimping him out? You know,
he's definitely got the best agent going, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Right, Aaron, I'm going to give you this one.
Easy.
Stuart Atwell, the referee this weekend, gave a terrible decision in the Liverpool-Sunderland game, but do you remember what terrible decision he made in the Championship a couple of seasons ago? It was to do with a goal that wasn't actually a goal.
You don't have to give me... Maybe I knew that. I was going to say I think it's to do with a goal that wasn't a
goal. Go on then, what was it? What's it infamously referred to?
The goal that was not
a goal. No, it's not that at all. It was the ghost goal. Do you not remember it?
Roy Carroll?
I don't know if Roy Carroll was involved.
That was the United Tottenham game.
That's what I was thinking
about.
No, it was in the Championship. Right, it was right. Like someone shot. It went wide, safely wide, but bounced back off the boardings really quickly, and he gave it as a goal. And now that man is refereeing in the Premiership. but we'll speak more about him later. Right, to celebrate me going back to my philosophy degree, Rick, the next question is philosophy themed.
Okay.
Are you ready?
No.
Right,
go on.
If Steven Gerrard elbows someone in the face, does the FA see it?
No.
Correct, 1-0.
I'll happily, stand down.
He gets away with it, Steven Gerrard, doesn't he?
He does, because he's,
just because he's English, he's like Mr. England.
Yeah.
It's the same way that Wayne Rooney gets away with it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get away with it far too much. Right, and Aaron, last question for you.
Yeah.
When was the last time Arsenal lost 3-2, and who scored the winner? And I know for a fact that you watched this game, because I watched it with you.
Was it Wigan?
It was Wigan, but who scored the winner?
Oh, what's his name? Is it Unson Nzogbia?
Yes!
Wow. I've done well!
Alright, we'll put it down as a draw.
Can't do that.
Hang about. I can't do that. So I've got a question for you, a tiebreaker.
Okay.
Yeah, don't put it down as a 1-0. I'm riled now.
Have you got a buzzer to buzz in?
No. I'll ask you first, okay. Because you got the question right first.
What, and then I come in second?
That's alright, because it... Trust me.
Alright, go on.
What is Chelsea's goal difference at the moment?
I know it.
Is it plus 18?
Plus
19.
It's 19.
It's
plus 19. Yes.
Right, you had the first go as well, didn't you?
I was so excited.
Right, well, there was one massive surprise result this weekend. It was... Arsenal 2, West Brom 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask you, Rick Ellis, is there any sight less encouraging in football than Al Mooney rushing from his net to collect a ball?
I love Al Mooney because he's terrible. I love him because he knows he's terrible, and Arsenal know he's terrible, but they don't do anything about it.
That's what I don't understand. Who other than Arsene Wenger would play him in a Champions League side? Like, is there any other club that you could imagine taking him on?
Wigan.
we're going to dub him, aren't we?
I have always thought that Arsenal should go for that Hugo Lloris guy.
What, because he's French?
Because he's French and thin. that's all Arsene Wenger needs. Just take them two boxes and go. That's it.
He could have got Mark Schwarzer for an extra couple of million.
Yeah.
Fulham weren't going to turn down an extra couple of million.
No.
It was brilliant. I was reading the Guardian live feed as it came up, and it had Al Mooney, messes up for the second goal, and then immediately after it said Schwarzer makes an amazing save at Fulham to keep it 0-0. It's like he could have done that, because I remember it was Brian Clough who said that his team is based on his number one, his number five, and his number nine. His goalkeeper, centre back, and his striker.
Yeah.
And Arsenal they barely have any centre backs. I think they have three.
Yeah.
And the goalkeepers are just terrible. Did you see Fabianski's error in the Carling Cup as well?
Yeah, it's
terrible.
He's an absolute flapper, isn't he?
I don't understand now why Arsene Wenger just isn't doing anything about it.
We've said it before on this podcast, haven't we? There's Tottenham now have three goalkeepers better than any of Arsenal's, because they've got Pletikosa, the Croatian, they've got Cudicini, and they've got Gomez.
Miles better.
But, I mean, do you think the fans were right to boo Al Mooney because he was getting a bit of stick? If you were an Arsenal fan going along to the Emirates, would you have booed him?
I would have booed him if I was one of the players.
Yeah. That would be harsh.
That would be. Wasn't he going to... Something about him playing for England as well?
A while ago when he had a few good games. That's how ridiculous the press are in this country.
Yeah.
Do you think Rooney was right at the World Cup, Rick, when he said that supporters should support and nothing more? You shouldn't be booing your own players, surely.
Yeah, I feel it.
Depends if you've gone all the way.
If you've gone all the way to South Africa and you spent thousands of pounds like people have done, and you've gone to see a team that have barely shown up, then I think you sort of got a bit of right to say, but I want more from you.
Say you had a girlfriend who was like really happy all the time and like joyous and like really made your life amazing. Like you'd be behind her, you'd love her, whatever.
Yeah.
But then when she started having a bad time, you wouldn't just be like, "You're a dickhead, get out of my life," would you? You'd stick by her, because that's when surely a supporter needs to be supporting his team twice as much when they're doing badly.
Yeah, I suppose.
They don't need you when you're 6-0 up at home, do they? Yeah, a lot of stick, according to a phone caller on Five Live, was aimed at the director's box, which to me seems insane, because Arsenal are at a mad profit. They made something like £56 million in the last month.
Yeah, I read that, yeah.
Obviously, a week, it might have even been a week.
£54 million turnover, like, a year.
A year?
Sure it was a year.
Yeah, it won't be a week.
No, a week. £56 million a week, buy anyone they want.
What the hell am I talking about?
Get Casillas, get fucking
Yeah, well, all right, yeah. And they've got a keeper, that guy said, that cost 54p, because he's that bad. I mean, but the directors don't deserve the stick, do they? Because if they're making the money for Wenger to spend, and he chooses not to.
Yeah, they've got nothing to do with it. They just make the money.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know that they might not be giving Wenger the money to spend otherwise.
Do you think
Why would he not get another keeper in? Why would he not pay the extra money to get?
Isn't it because he's a stubborn old man?
Yeah, I think it is, because I think with any other person you could say that, but I think with Wenger he is just a stubborn bastard.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Because it's like Adebayor went for what, 20 million? Colo Chara went for 15, and then they only spent like 10 million on Bamal, and that was it.
They're two of their best players, I reckon.
They were two of the best
players.
Yeah,
of course
they
were. But like the team, you know, the Invincibles from, I think it was 2003, wasn't it, when they didn't lose a game?
2004.
Was it 2004? Yeah. They've like, there's not one of them left now.
No, there's not one, is there?
No, because Colo Chara was the last of them.
I think you bring fucking Tony Adams out of retirement, right, and stick him at centre-back in
Arsenal. I would, definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah, the turnover of players that they have at Arsenal is insane, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's worse at Liverpool, and yet they do terribly. Arsenal do quite well, considering the turnover of players,
but
of course, that's their fault, so you can't really say that.
Yeah.
Did you think they missed Wilshere in the first half, Rick?
Not really, no, to be honest.
What, did you think it was more a case of West Brom being good than Arsenal being bad?
Yeah.
So it gets too negative to focus on Arsenal.
I think West Brom, just the shots that they had, they were put away, do you know what I mean?
I think
they didn't really have many shots that they missed, really.
Yeah.
They had the penalty that they missed, obviously, but apart from that, I think
Almeny was at fault for that as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, to really.
He saved the penalty, like, you're supposed to praise him, but it's like you gave the penalty away.
And you're like, you're lucky, otherwise you were getting a slip.
I thought they missed Wilshere. What do you make of Wilshere?
I think Wilshere's really coming through. Even Fabregas said he's better than he was at that point.
Yeah, well, probably at that age,
yeah.
He probably is. It's like the Sorcerer and his apprentice, isn't it?
Because I sort of saw him and didn't really rate him that much, but recently I've really started to rate him and would love to see him in England.
As do I. Yeah, yeah. I think he will do eventually. He is still very young and he's a bit slight as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a bit
small, isn't he? But he puts himself about, you know, for a small lad.
I think he learned that at Bolton, didn't he? Yeah. More than anything.
I think it sort of reminds me of a little Rooney.
You think so? What, you mean just with his, like, rampaging attitude?
Little bastard, yeah. Nothing nice.
He's probably not been sticking his dick in anything, though. Was it all the goalkeeper's fault, or were Arsenal being too over-elaborate with their play? Were they doing too many fancy passes and...
I think Arsenal, every time they play, they do too many fancy passes.
People may as well just accept that,
don't
they? They may as well.
Yeah. You've got to take the rough with the smooth, haven't you? Because they get performances like the 6-0 against Braga, and then they get performances like this that are just frustrating. But you know, there's always the temptation to say that, like, the bigger team did badly.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's the same game, and it's like 11 players on the pitch, and so it's perfectly within the realms of possibility that West Brom were just very, very good.
Yeah.
And Odin Wingie up front, he's looking good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not looking too bad.
I think he came over from Moscow, I think, where he was given racist abuse all the time, so I reckon he's probably
to come to England. That's
the utopia. Yeah, he's probably loving life now, though.
Yeah,
like, he's not getting any stick off those fans, and he's scoring goals at the Emirates.
It must be so nice just to come from a shithole, basically, and just do it.
Moscow is not a shithole.
It's a bit of a some of the parts I've seen of my travels. Yeah, I don't know, and just be doing mint. Like, no one's expecting that much of you, and then just do amazing. You must be living it. Like Bebe. No, not like Bebe. Not like Bebe.
Let us not ring up Bebe. What do you think of him in the Carling Cup? I thought he looked quite dynamic and a bit.
He's quite strong, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's getting
quite
a good cross as well.
He looked quite like nippy and strong on the ball.
You've got to be nippy at the Homeless World Cup, though, haven't you, when you're pickpocketing people?
Go slower, someone's going to take you by shots. That's it.
Right, well, Arsenal are away at Partizan in midweek, who might do a bit of a West Brom on them, you never know.
But I think you've got to have two syllables and a W to beat them. 3-2.
West Ham?
Wigan. West Brom.
So you reckon they're in for it with West Ham?
Mm-hmm.
West Ham, I like that
3-2, I'm going to put a bet on it.
There's one the bookies won't pick up on. Right, yeah, and then they're away at Chelsea on Sunday. Chelsea, who lost at Man City. But the, there's one more important thing to talk about the football there, Aaron. Mm-hmm. And would Malouda make a fit woman?
He'd definitely make a fit woman.
I didn't notice until the weekend.
I think I've secretly noticed for a while, but was waiting for you to say.
Yeah, yeah, but would you consider shagging him, Rick?
No, probably not. No.
Come on, Rick.
All right, then.
Well, if he paid you,
it's a
bit gay, that, Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah, many said this was a boring game, like on the interwebs,
yeah,
and what.
I loved it.
I thought it was really interesting.
Mancini was clearly playing on the counter attack.
Yeah, he was.
And he fucking did it well.
On the counter attack every game. I mean, that's all they've set up every single game of the season with three defensive midfielders and one striker.
It's really interesting how he did it in Milan as well. He sat 10 men behind the ball, you know, if you include the keeper, and he waited for Ibrahimovic to do something magic, and it looks like he's doing the same with Tevez, doesn't it? But like, I mean, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
But when your club spent all that money, do you want to see him winning, or do you want to see him playing good football?
I'd want to see good football.
I'd prefer to see him winning.
I guess in this early stage of his reign, like, winning's winning, isn't it? And then you can worry about the flair
at
later.
At the moment, he needs to cement sort of his place and make sure that he keeps his place in, like, as much.
Because if you knew your job was so insecure, you'd make a point of getting 1-0 wins, wouldn't you?
Like you say, like the last game, West Brom, Arsenal had some flair, but they didn't win.
Exactly, yeah.
And no one's happy, are they? Stick. Yeah. Yeah. At least they played well. You're like, why the fuck are we winning?
Did you? I do think it's ridiculous for criticising City for being defensive against the best team in the league by a mile.
Yeah, that's true.
At home, like when they've scored 100,000 goals already this season. I think that's a bit insane.
On a plus 19 goal difference.
Yeah, there's a lad that I work with that basically stood up the other day and said, if they can't score, they can't win. That's what they're basically doing at the moment, aren't they?
Of course, exactly.
Do you know who I rate, really? I know he's a bit of a wanker for kicking Javi Alonso in the chest, but I think no one's a better defensive midfielder than De Jong. I think he's one of the best.
He knows his task and he sticks to it, doesn't
he? I think
he's
slowly taking down every other midfielder. But maybe that's why he seems amazing. But I think he's belted.
Maybe he was scared by the idea of a deep lying playmaker like Alonso, and he thought you're supposed to be armed. But he hit him in the chest.
Why have you gone past the halfway line?
Yeah, I do like him. De Jong and Barry were both incredible.
Yeah, they were.
Like, if you look at Barry's stats, Barry made 8 out of 9 tackles. And he completed every single one of his passes in the game.
I love that. I love seeing that, though.
Yeah, same.
But to me, he never looks comfortable on the ball. Never. But
Barry, I think he has early in the season. I think you're more thinking with England there.
Do you not think he wobbles about a bit?
Yeah, he does.
He looks so shaky. He looks ill.
But like, so does Peter Crouch. Is like that, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's just, that's different.
I remember I heard about Peter Crouch taking a penalty, and I was like, "What? He's not a striker. He's nothing."
He doesn't look like he can kick a ball properly, doesn't he? Just sort of gets him in the way.
He's the kind of kid at school that like just like falls into an exam hall, isn't
he?
And then just gets a C.
You stick him in net at school. He's in net.
Not at all. You can reach the crossbar.
You know what I've always wondered about? You know, like dead fat people.
Right.
Like, why don't they become hockey goalkeepers?
I think there's a weight restriction.
There probably
is. There's got
to
be.
They might, because they're unathletic, they might not be able to stand up on, like.
But they could because it's only a short net. Like, the fattest man in the world could just sit down
and just block the full net.
I guess food's probably banned on the ice, though, isn't it?
Yeah, possibly.
Just trying to melt the ice, put a bit of straw and coolie on it. Fine.
Back to serious matters. Why did Chelsea's front three fail to function as they normally do?
Because they weren't together at all. I had never seen it like that before. They were all sort of all over the place.
But I mean, did you think they were just defending out the game, or where they are for?
I think they weren't allowed to. I think a lot of Chelsea's goals come on a counter attack because we've got fast and strong forwards.
Yeah.
But because City were behind the ball all the time, they had no chance to counter attack. Really,
they were so deep, weren't they?
That's the spot. Well, they were just waiting for the counter attack, so it's going to be difficult. And they usually attack with just the main three, don't they, really, Chelsea?
Yeah, they do. Maybe Essien or Lampard bombing forward from the middle.
Yeah.
Lampard's been out, obviously.
I had a bet.
I think they missed him.
Yeah, they did big time. Well, Essien's shots from the edge of the area were just woeful.
They were desperate, weren't they?
Yeah, he had six and didn't get one on target until the last minute.
And I can't stand Drogba diving. I know it's like the most.
But was he diving about?
He was diving about. There was some points towards the end where they were 1-0 down and he was just diving about, and the referee was obviously just telling him to get up. And I'm just like, just stay on your
feet. It is tiring as a fan, because like, you're a United fan, and seeing Nani do it, it's just tiring.
I don't like seeing it at all. It just pisses me off. Even if we get a penalty from it, you know
what it is pointless.
Yeah,
because you're never going to get anything from it.
It's just cheating. It's cheating. You're just cheating. What are you doing?
Do you know what football is kicking off with the ref reminds me of? Do you know me and Aaron, listeners, used to play a lot of double team on Halo.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're losing or something, or when it's not going well, you cry and cry and cry, and you end up playing worse and worse and worse,
exactly,
don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
And so if I was a manager, I'd tell players, get up the second you've been fouled.
Yeah.
You know, like Messi does.
Yeah.
And I'd say to them, don't say anything to the ref, because you're just getting yourself wound
yeah.
up.
It must be a bigger effect on footballers as well. You know, they must play miles worse after the
game. And if you're Malouda on the wing and you're seeing Drogba dive about and stuff, you think he's not in the mood.
Yeah.
You forget that a few years ago Drogba was an absolute pain in the arse.
Oh,
just because
yeah.
last season he seemed to mature a bit, didn't he?
Won it last season.
Yeah.
He was one of Time Magazine's 100 most powerful people in the world.
Was it?
Yeah, because of all the influence he has.
Strong as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally one of the most powerful people.
He fucking threatened his way up there. He's like, put me on it. Him and Ronaldo were on the front, weren't they?
Was Ronaldo on as well?
Was that with all the tops off and they were?
Yeah,
they
were. I was like, all right. Yeah, speaking of Ronaldo, actually, have you heard that he's seeing a psychologist?
No.
He's depressed in Madrid. And Iker Casillas' wife is kicking
oh,
up
right,
with him
yeah,
about it. Have you read about
Casillas'
that?
Wife says he's selfish. Casillas' wife says he's
difficult,
selfish.
Yeah,
says Ronaldo's
selfish.
Yeah. Yeah. He is, but he said that he doesn't.
Well, I'll talk in a bit about Madrid, because the amount of shots that guy's having is insane. He's like Essien, but
yeah.
a lot worse.
But we won't talk about Madrid.
We'll get onto Madrid in a bit. The comparison between the benches of Chelsea and Man City is fascinating.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Have a listen to this, Rick.
It's great.
Chelsea's bench: Turnbull, Zhirkov, Ferreira, Sturridge, Van Aanholt, Kakuta, and I think it's McEachran, I think is how you say
it. I know about two of them.
Right, yeah. Well, you know Kakuta because he was the centre of all that controversy, wasn't he, with his transfer?
Oh, yeah.
You know Ferrari, you know Sturridge, but like
Zonal
Markin, yeah. the website on Twitter, the guy Michael Cox pointed out that 5 years ago in the same fixture they brought on Crespo and Robin. Chelsea,
yeah.
and then they didn't have the power to change it from the bench, did they?
No.
But they've got a lot of injuries,
lot of injuries. But I think they've not got as much depth as they had a few seasons ago.
No,
they're just one team, aren't they?
They're
like
a ruthless
11.
Yeah, they're.
It's like when you get an amazing
starting 11. But
yeah.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Liverpool when they ran United for the title. They had like an absolutely amazing 11, but then like if the left winger was injured, they had to bring on Aurelio or something.
Yeah. Do you know what it's like when you get like your best team on FIFA 10 and you won't change? You won't never sub anyone. The stamina sheet.
Yeah.
You know, that's fucking it. You'll never change anyway.
I feel like Chelsea, I've got the stamina sheet on sometimes.
Yeah.
Right, and then listen to Man City's bench in comparison.
It's
Adebayor, Adam Johnson, Patrick Vieira, Joe, Lescott, Boateng, and Shea Given.
That's
a lot
better.
I don't like Joe, but everyone seems to love him at the moment.
He's got something going on. He came for £19 million from CSK Moscow.
I know, but then he went to Everton for a season and did absolutely nothing, and then come back and now he's the man. Apparently,
I've never rated him.
It's because Mancini seems to have like really been bigging him up, doesn't he? I remember Moyes described him as a big disappointment at the end of his time at Everton. He just didn't look up for it, did he? Like a lot of Brazilians sometimes do. But I'll be speaking about another Brazilian that's not up for it in a bit. Neymar, who nearly went to Chelsea.
What do you think about Ramirez?
He was good. He looked too slight.
He did look too slight, didn't I?
Yeah.
To you, he looked too slight.
He seems to try and make up for a lack of physical power with like rough tackles,
and
he is super
so
quick.
I've never seen anyone as quick.
In that Chelsea, like, he won't look out of place like in the Arsenal side, but in that Chelsea midfield next to Essien and
Mikel,
yeah. he was absolutely drowned out.
Yeah.
Something I noticed during the game was, you know how City played David Silva on the right, didn't they, rather than Adam Johnson, and he kept cutting inside like he was clearly told to do so.
Yeah.
And that left Ashley Cole free on the left, and he could get forward as much as he wanted, and Silva only tracked him once, and yet Chelsea seemed really reluctant to use it.
Yeah.
Like the once he got forward, Kolo Touré was dragged out of position. It's all about creating space, isn't it? And so there was a lot of space then, but then they never seemed to get Ashley Cole forward anymore.
No.
If I was Mancini, I would have put Milner on Ashley Cole to track him back.
Yeah, because
then had Silva roaming round Ivanovic.
Yeah, Silva isn't going to track Ashley Cole, Lizzie, because he'll be fucked.
He seemed to want to use Milner's energy against Ivanovic, didn't he? What have you made of Milner's time at City so far?
Milner's getting better and better at City,
I think he's a great player.
I'd love to have him.
I always thought he was a good player when he very first started at Leeds. And he was
at Leeds?
He started his career at Leeds and he was 16.
Yeah.
And he was a. He was younger. He's younger than Wayne Rooney, isn't he? I remember him playing for Leeds.
Oh, Rick.
My granddad. he's only 20. What is he now?
He's 24. So it was 8 years ago.
But my granddad's a big Leeds fan, and I remember him saying this guy's going to be better than Rooney when he was 16 playing for Leeds, and he was.
He's
a decent player, and
he is a very good player. I remember thinking he was a great signing when O'Neill got him for £12 million from Newcastle. It's been a bit of like I thought it was a bit of a joke transfer when Ireland went the other way, but he seems to have put him into a well-oiled machine, didn't he?
Yeah, because I really rate Ireland, and
Yeah, well, he's done nothing, has he?
Done nothing at Villa, has he?
No. Yeah. Well, Chelsea are up against Marseille tonight, the Tuesday night we're recording on. Drogba's old club, but I think he's still banned, isn't he, from when they went out of the Champions League last season when he got sent off?
Yeah, two games.
Two more games. So he'll be ready for the away leg in Marseille, and they absolutely love Drogba up in Marseille.
Why?
He only had the one season there, but he scored 20 goals. That was where he came to Chelsea from.
From Marseille, yeah.
And he scored 19 or 20 goals, but like he built up a relationship with the fans, you know, like Torres has at Liverpool.
Yeah.
It was like that, and they absolutely buzz off him up there.
Yeah.
And there's a good midweek tie for City against Juventus as well.
That's going to be good.
Yeah.
That's going to be really good.
In the 90s, you wouldn't have heard City playing Juventus, would you?
No,
not unless it's a friendly.
Yeah. And you're like, City going to
be pre-season friendly.
Yeah. And Del Piero's going to score 8 free kicks. Yeah. And then they've got Newcastle at the weekend, old City. And considering the subject of my next section was Chelsea's main transfer target, I think we'll go to it right now.
I'll go, yeah.
Right, here it's time for the South American story of the week, and my choice this week is on Neymar. He was the subject of a massive bid by Chelsea, if you remember rightly, in the summer.
I do, yeah.
I think it was like 4,000 million euros.
70 billion.
Oh, was that it? Right, yeah. He missed 3 penalties in a row for Santos over the last few weeks.
Three penalties,
like not in the same match, but just over the course of a few games. Yeah, a bit like that, yeah, because he'd never really missed one before. And he threw a massive tantrum when coach Dorival Jr. stopped him taking the fourth, you know, like they got a penalty in a game, and he said Neymar, you can't take it. He said Marcel's got to take it. And so while Marcel was taking it, a camera stayed on Neymar, and he was squaring up to the coach, like going absolutely sick at him, and he was throwing water bottles and stuff because he wasn't allowed to take the penalty. He's only 18.
Jeez.
And that guy scored the penalty, and they eventually won 4-2 over Atletico Guionense, I think is how you say it.
Used to support them.
Did you when you were a kid? Oh, yeah. You lived there.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? For a few years.
Yeah. And Neymar later said on Twitter that all was well, but Junior, you know, the coach, didn't want him to play in the Sao Paulo Clásico against Corinthians, who were top of the table in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like, he was punishing like you would with a spoiled child, like you'd stop him going out, you'd ground them or something, wouldn't you? Because he is effectively a spoiled child now.
Yeah.
You know, because in Brazil, they're obsessed with the idea of like idolising a player. It was Ronaldinho, it was Ronaldo, and like now it's Neymar. Like, he's the new thing. Because, you know, he stayed there, like Santos accepted the bid, but Neymar chose to stay in Santos for a few years, and we gave him a lot of credit for that,
didn't we?
But he's now going mental with the power that he's got, because everyone adores him in this country, and so he got the coach sacked.
Really?
Because the board wanted him to play in the Sao Paulo Clásico against Corinthians, because it's one of the biggest derbies in the world.
Yeah.
But obviously the coach didn't want him to, so they sacked the coach rather than letting Neymar not play.
So this is like the definition of being bigger than the club.
Yeah, exactly. He is miles bigger than it. It's exactly what Ferguson was scared of Ronaldo becoming at United.
Yeah.
They lost the game 3-2 in the end anyway.
Yeah.
Neymar played, he scored, but Corinthians won in the end. But isn't that appalling behaviour from Santos's board?
To fire
the manager on the basis of an 18-year-old player.
That's really, really. I had a lot of respect for him for saying, not respect, but you know, I thought quite well of him for
great
saying.
Stuff.
Yeah, but now he's just a little wanker.
To be honest, I think that like sort of saying that your best player can't play in your most important game of the season is a bit stupid. To be fair,
it probably is. You are limiting yourself, but you've got to stop it at some point, because if he throws a tantrum and then doesn't get banned, then like what's going to happen?
Yeah.
He's going to throw a tantrum every game.
Because didn't he throw a tantrum?
I think there's probably other ways that you could punish him though. Without taking away,
fine him a couple of weeks' wages.
Yeah, or some. You know, something on
that. Yeah. What, did he say he couldn't play in that game because he was throwing a tantrum about the penalty?
Yeah, he gave him a 15-day ban.
And then he got the fucking manager fired.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Whether he did it or the board fired him so Neymar could play,
right.
Either way, Neymar got him fired.
Well, either
directly or indirectly, I know. Mm. And the fifth in the championship at the moment, they don't look like winning it much at all. Would Europe have sorted him out, do you think? Because would a player like that have been happy sitting on the bench?
Play like that.
Do you know what? He's playing at a smaller club than he would have been playing at. If he'd have gone to Chelsea, he knows he's at the biggest club in the world, pretty much, or one of the biggest clubs in the world.
Well, you see, Santos, like, in Brazil, are massive. They're like absolutely huge. Like he'll have more fans on his back than he would at Chelsea.
But the
pressure might be greater, especially when it's your home countryman. I remember like Pep Guardiola was saying, "I will quit the Barcelona job in a couple of years because he literally can't stand the stress." Like he had nearly a full head of hair when he took over, and now he's bald, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's like when you look at Tony Blair back over his reign.
Yeah.
Like now he looks like a haggard old man. But I can't imagine. I think he would have gone mental sitting on the bench.
No, I don't think he would have had a choice in Europe.
Yeah, he would have just been on the bench.
He would have just been on the bench, and then you've got to just deal with that. But I think over there, he's going to mess him up.
I think he knows there. Over there he's got so yeah. much like power and respect all, and like support. But he'd come to Europe and he knows he's not got that much, so he knows he'd have to.
So you think he'd be like humbled?
Yeah, I think
it's like when you're in a bad mood, like with your mates or something, but you're still nice to him, and then you go home yeah. and like your mum says one word, it's like, why don't you shut up? It's like that.
You see, like, can you see him doing that to Ferguson or Ancelotti or someone?
Yeah, you're right. Actually, there is such little respect in Brazil for the coach. I think I'm right in saying that there's 20 teams in the league. 17 of the teams have already changed the coach at least once, and one club's changed it four times in a season.
It's like the players are in charge of the manager, isn't it? And they decide.
Absolutely that, and that's why, because you know, like they export over 1,000 players a year, Brazil, yeah. and like maybe it is better that some of them leave.
I take back what I said about him. He's going to get clubs out of Brazil, doesn't he?
Yeah,
it's going to ruin him.
Right, well then I'll keep you updated on old Neymar anyway, because he's one of my favourite players.
I like them little stories.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they?
I like them.
Yeah, worthy of a jingle.
Yeah, the jingle's beautiful.
But we'll go back to the league, and something that you'll want to talk about a lot, both of you. It finished Man United 2, Bolton 2.
Yes, it did.
Say what you want about United's flaws and frailties, but there's some bloody good matches coming down, isn't there, from United?
Yeah, there is. The matches are exciting matches, but they're not how it wants to end up.
Yeah. Do you think it's the 4-4-2 that's making it exciting?
Possibly. You could say that. I could say that United defend poorly as well, to be honest.
Yeah, they
always concede deflections. Every time it was against Everton, we conceded a deflection last goal.
Oh, yeah.
The second one at Bolton was a deflection off Fletcher past a goal.
You know, you bloody. But maybe it's poetic justice for all the own goals that United scored last season.
I don't want any justice.
Own goals was United's second top scorer in the league.
That's hilarious.
I think we said that on the first podcast.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you said about like the terrible defence then. Johnny Evans' lack of aerial ability is becoming like a real weak point. Like, teams are clearly trying to exploit it, aren't they? Like they do with Almunia, really, like, you know, when corners come in. Do you think it's time to give Chris Smalling a chance?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we paid, what was it, 12 million for him?
He's going to go up to 12 million if he plays.
I think he's why he's not playing him then, because he's scared of paying the money.
Yeah,
because I saw him. Who was he against now? Who did he play against?
Rangers,
right? And every time he made a decent tackle, which was a lot, he always picked out a belting pass.
Yeah, that was what I liked about him.
I play him a lot more.
I think, right, excuse me if this is too boring.
Go on.
But I think, right, listen to this. You know, because everyone seems to be playing single striker systems now, that leaves a spare centre back at all times. So I think what you're going to start seeing, and this isn't new, it's said a lot around the internet, you're going to have centre backs that start playing the ball more.
Yeah.
You saw it happen with, you know, when United lost away at Bayern, when Di Michele stepped into the midfield and he played the ball right through United, because United went to a 4-4-2 and there was no holding midfielder to stop it.
Yeah.
So I think what you're going to get is ball playing defenders, and I think that's what Chris Smalling is.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Johnny Evans was supposed to be, because he picked out a couple of cracking passes, didn't he, against Bolton? But I just think, if your defender is actually conceding new goals, which is what Evans is doing, surely you start someone else.
Yeah, true.
What's going on with Ferdinand?
Ferdinand, he's just injury prone, isn't he? He's just like.
But he's played in successive weeks, just against Rangers and then Scunthorpe.
Yeah.
Was it? He played against Scunthorpe, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Well, yeah. I think I don't think they want to start him, because he didn't look. To be honest, he didn't look amazing against Scunthorpe.
Did he not?
And playing like a lesser side, I don't want to start him against Bolton.
Because they'll rarely exploit him, aren't they?
Yeah. But when Ferdinand's fit on his day, he is the ball playing defender that you need, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's like on the ball, he's like an attacking midfielder sort of.
Young. Yeah.
I've always said that. I've said for ages. I think that Ferdinand's really going to struggle getting back into the team. I really do.
I thought he would have last season, because Evans was immense last season, wasn't he?
But
if Ferdinand's fit, he starts straight away, and he starts for England as well.
Yeah,
but he keeps having those lapses in concentration, doesn't he? Like he did when he gave the ball away to Bellamy in the 4-3 win last season.
Yeah.
It's a really curious case with Ferdinand at the moment. I don't know what's going on.
No, but the United games lately just seem scripted.
It seems
like someone's right in the midst of ridiculous.
that is very.
That Berbatov goal was definitely CGI. Yeah, against Liverpool, you know.
Oh, we've not spoke about that. Have we? What a goal!
Can we have a podcast dedicated to
that goal?
Just to
Berbatov. I mean, I'm not a big Berbatov biggest fan, but anyone that scores a hat trick against Liverpool is a hero.
Yeah,
he's
been like 4 years.
I think it's like sixty odd years.
But there was never ever a hat trick against Liverpool at Old Trafford. The last hat trick against Liverpool was at Main Road.
Oh right,
so that's the first one. It was when the United's ground was being repaired from all the bomb attacks when we were playing at Main Road.
Right,
so that's our first one. That's the first one at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Jesus,
well, it'll go down in history.
It will.
Didn't Farland get two against Liverpool?
He got two. That was once when he came off the. He could have had a hat trick. And he missed an open net. Remember that? That exact game. He scored two, and it come down to his hat trick, and he missed an open net. He got through 1-1. If you go on YouTube and type in like football blunders, it's like the worst watch video on there.
Weren't they his only two goals?
His first two goals were cracking goals.
Yeah, he seemed so good, didn't he? I don't even want to talk about Farnham.
I don't know why we sold him. It's like selling Gerard Piqué for Everton, keeping Evans.
Yeah. The Gerard Piqué transfer doesn't make much sense. I'm wondering if he was just pining to go back to Barcelona and that was why.
I think he was.
I think he had like Evans and Piqué coming through and he sort of chose Evans over Piqué.
Do you think so?
We can get some money for Piqué.
And now Piqué is one of the best defenders in the world.
Yeah, he is. I'll speak about it later when we speak about Barcelona as well. But did you see when Evans ran at Lee, you know, the Korean winger who David Pleat called Park?
Yeah.
Evans ran at him and he's about 5 foot and he like absolutely clattered him and like got the header in to like prove that he's dead hard.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just racist.
Yeah. Like an
he's Irish, isn't he? So,
sat at home watching Satanta.
It might seem too obvious a point, but did Nani's and it was a great goal. Did it remind you of anyone? Another diving Portuguese man that used to play for United? It was very Ronaldo-esque, that goal, wasn't it?
It was a good goal, yeah. I like Nani. I mean, this season I think he's had such a great chance now to come into the team now Valencia's injured himself.
Yeah, he seemed to be playing really wide out on the right, didn't he?
Yeah.
He seemed to be filling the Valencia role rather than cutting in like he normally does.
Well, I think he puts a cracking ball in as well, there's no doubt in that. I mean, he sets up the majority of United's goals now.
Yeah, it was a great finish from old Zach Knight, wasn't it, for Bolton? But how often do teams concede because the player on the post isn't covering properly?
They showed this on Match of the Day too, I think it was. It seemed like, I think it was like 4 goals in the past week where there was goals conceded but without having a player on the post.
Yeah. I was having an interesting discussion though. Don't you think he would stop more goals stood there than he would if he was right on the post?
You mean,
because Charles, if he'd got that finish a bit worse, which he, more times than not he would do, Everett would stop that with his foot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, He did it straight afterwards as well. I don't know if you noticed, but a corner that came in a few minutes later, Evra was stood there again. So it's clearly deliberate on Ferguson's part.
But they did it against Fingers. They showed the one in Berbatov's goal against Liverpool where I think it was Glenn Johnson was supposed to win the post, but Glenn Johnson was stood behind Rayner and it was like
yeah.
It got scary going through his body.
It's odd for a player that normally has a great defensive awareness like Glenn Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Aaron, you've got something to say about Owen Hyle, haven't you? Bolton manager.
I think he's a lovely man.
He is a lovely man.
I'd love him to be like my dad or something. Not that my dad will ever listen to this, but Dad, I wish you were Owen Hyle.
Yeah, he's got like a really warm air to him, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's lovely.
You think he's a bit of a dick, don't you, Rick?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a few friends that are Burnley fans at work, and they've sort of convinced me that he's a knobhead.
Do you think you're a knobhead for taking a club that had no money up to the Premier League?
No.
And then getting a better job
off. No, but the thing is, Burnley were doing okay. They were doing better than Bolton at the time.
But Bolton,
and they
Bolton
just left, they left Burnley in the shit, really, didn't they?
But Bolton are undoubtedly a better team.
A better team and a bigger club.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, getting a job at dragging a company through the shit. And then getting a job offer for Sky or something.
I'll be working for Sky like the namesake of this podcast, old Andy Gray.
I'll
probably run into him at some point, won't I?
You're going to be the Owen Hyle of that, really.
And he said to the customer, put that one in the net, son. Yeah, there was another goal for Michael Owen. Boom! With his head. Underrated part of Michael Owen's game is heading.
Yeah, because he's about 5 foot, something like that. Boy,
he's header, wasn't it?
See the giants he was surrounded by as well. Do you think he's got any chance of a midweek start against Valencia now? Rooney's out injured.
Yeah, definitely.
I think he has. I think
he's got.
Don't you think Ferguson will pack the midfield and put Berbatov up front on his
turf?
Berbatov can't play up front on his own. I don't like when Berbatov plays up front on his own.
Neither do I. But like last season, he couldn't play in a 4-4-2 either, and he's doing that pretty well now.
Berbatov couldn't play last season.
Yeah, full stop.
Like a new man this season.
Last season is, as you can't compare
his retirement from international football sort of
lightened
up his,
playing for Bulgaria must be depressing though.
Yeah.
He said he was getting really upset about it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. And then when Petrov scored, I bet he was pissed off.
The commentator went, it was all supposed to be about a Bulgarian today and now it's about another one. It's like, well, no it's not, because there's 22 of them out there. Stop saying the easy things. It's like they write the lines beforehand, isn't it, and then they really shoehorn them in.
Like if Petrov scores, I'll say that.
do you think Valencia's going to be a tough challenge, the top of the Spanish league?
I think we're going to get beat.
Do you think so?
Definitely.
I think we're going to win 3-1.
Big prediction there. Yeah, that's Wednesday night, which might be around the time a lot of people hear this. So
see, like, Valencia are top of the league, but like I said, they played what, 5 games so far, and you can't really tell who's going to move.
They're
in the top 6, aren't they?
Yeah. You can in the English league. Apparently, no one else can win there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course not. Yeah. Yeah. Aren't Chelsea 3 points clear?
No, they lost. They're going to lose.
What, yeah. Oh, are they going to lose the league now?
Yeah.
And then when they win next, then they'll win the league.
Liverpool get relegated, aren't they?
Yeah, Liverpool are already relegated, aren't they? Now.
Andy Gray said they are. Andy Gray writes teams up quicker than they've played. Like he writes them up before they've played.
Yeah, he does.
It's ridiculous.
Writes them off quicker than Anderson writes off cars.
Right.
Yeah, I remember on the BBC website, I saw someone say that Chelsea had a chance to put the nail in the coffin of a title rival with Man City. It's like, it's 6 games in.
Yeah. You can't have got anything 6 games in, can you?
Exactly. Everton went on a 24 game unbeaten streak, didn't they, and got into like 8th place when they were like 15th. Like, anything can happen. They seem to really ignore that. Yeah, we said that Liverpool are already relegated because that's what people seem to be saying.
Yeah, we do.
Liverpool drew 2-2 with Sunderland, and this game just has like a habit of massive lulls, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It had the old beach ball.
How many people do you think put bets on a beach ball to be involved in the game before this game?
I reckon it's an option, definitely.
Last season, you know, in the second Liverpool Sunderland fixture, the one at Anfield, it was 125-1 for a ball to go in off the beach ball.
That's hilarious.
Terrible odds to be fair.
Surely.
Terrible odds.
Do you want to explain what happened with the first Liverpool goal, Rick?
I'd love to explain what happened, but I don't really know what.
It's very difficult to describe to someone that's seen it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like he just knocked it back. But the ball was dead.
It was Michael Turner, wasn't it, at the back for Sunderland?
Yeah.
The ball was dead.
It was a free kick to Sunderland.
Yeah.
The referee hadn't blown his whistle, had he?
No.
But I don't think he...
But really, he started running off.
Yeah, he started running off as if to say, there's your free kick, you take the free kick. And he just knocked it back, just so the keeper, and he just stopped and stared. And Torres, like the striking instinct that he has, ran onto it. Everyone just stops. Even Soros stopped and looked about and said, what do we do here?
Yeah.
And Dirk Cowley, the man, ran up.
Dirk Cowley, he was onto it, wasn't he? He was like, I don't get to score often.
Yeah.
All efficiency.
It was. Do you think he thought he was taking the free kick, or do you think he genuinely was knocking it back to the keeper?
I don't know. Ian, if they watched it on a match, I think it was on Match of the Day, Match of the Day 2, and you see when he very first knocks it, He jumps the tiniest little bit as if to say, shit, what have I done?
Yeah, knowing that he's done too short a pass.
Yeah, but then he sort of like tries and plays it cool as if the ref thinks the ref's going to blow the whistle and say, well, no, it's their free kick still. But
the shocking thing is, every other Sunderland player thought he was just passing it back, didn't they? But what I don't get is the ref seemed to be saying, take it a bit further back.
Yeah.
And so he knocked it a bit further back. But the keeper didn't move out for it, did he?
No.
It's a really, really odd situation. You've got to see it to believe it.
I think the only person that knows what was going on, really, Michael Turner.
I think you're spot on there. Put yourself in these shoes. You're Pepe Reina, right? You're a bit better looking, but you know.
Right.
And you stood in net, and you're looking out at Liverpool, and you're looking at Poulsen, you're looking at like Konchesky.
Right.
You're looking at like Jovanovic, these players, and you're just thinking, I'm a great keeper.
Yeah.
And you're looking out at these players.
I could have gone Arsenal for 25 million.
As if he could have. As if Wenger was spending that.
Not only that, but you're looking at your defence, shit in your pants.
Yeah. That's what I don't understand. Everyone's saying that Liverpool haven't got like enough fluency in attack and stuff. Like they've got Carragher and Skrtel.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
That's the only problem is the defence.
Yeah,
I think
Liverpool, you looked at when Liverpool lined up against United, I think their midfield and attacking force looked was on par with United. To be fair,
they've got starters for like Holland, Spain, what should be an England starter in Joe Cole. They've got a Portuguese starter, Morales, Lucas. You're gonna have a go at me for saying this, but Lucas just needs a move because he's a really good player.
Do you really think he's a good player?
I've watched him when he was at Grêmio in Brazil. He's exactly the same player as Anderson is for United. It's for some reason it just doesn't happen at Liverpool.
Can't do it.
Do you think Hodgson's made mistakes, or do you think he's still suffering from the reign of Benitez?
I think he's still suffering. I think. I really dislike the fact that all the Liverpool fans blame the board, and that is the only person that they're blaming.
What do you mean, rather than Benitez? They do seem to like have a real thing against the board, don't they?
Which I don't think, to be fair. What's the board doing wrong?
I think it's because it's a club in transition. They're saying that they're trying to sell it, but they're not selling it, and I think that's what they're angry about.
Yeah.
The protests. They did a sit-in afterwards, and United do these pathetic protests with the green and gold scarves over United shirts a lot of the time that they just paid 50 quid for. In Germany, I'm not sure what club it was, but they just stopped going to matches for 5 matches and the club sold, like the bar sold straight away.
Yeah.
Because the only way you can stop these people, what is the one thing these people care about? It's money, isn't it?
Yeah,
and so if you stop giving them your money, they're going to go. So the Liverpool fans shouldn't show up for the games.
The money for the scarves probably goes to the fucking Glazers as well.
The Glazers do have people outside selling gold, like green and gold scarves.
That's hilarious. They can make more money off it.
Yeah, they do. And they're doing. Just hit them where it hurts.
Yeah.
That's what the Liverpool fans should be doing. I don't know if it's got too much to do with the ownership, the issues on the pitch, but I think you've just got to give them time because it's a new manager and it's new players and they're really good players. I'm going to go with Konchesky, but he's a solid 7 out of 10 every week, isn't he, Konchesky?
It was for Fulham.
Yeah.
Can he do it in a Liverpool?
I don't know, Hodgson's drilled him, hasn't he, repeatedly? Yeah.
Do you think Hodgson could be doing this on purpose?
Why?
Because he's getting a bit old now, isn't he? And he thinks, if I go to Liverpool on a 5-year deal, mess up, and they want to sign me, I get a big retirement from that, don't I?
He's got the plan in his head.
He's an absolute legend.
Yeah,
he is. That's brilliant.
I'm just seeing scandals all over the newspaper now. I think he's spot on.
Do you know what I noticed during this game? That Sunderland have the same shirt spot. The sponsor on their shirt is the same thing that sponsors Emmerdale. Tom Bowler. So you reckon you'll see Marlon Dingle turning up for that anytime soon?
Coming on. Maybe a crossbar challenge at half time.
I'm Marlon Dingle. Chef.
all the excuses Liverpool have got, I think, mean that they're doing pretty much how they should be expected to be doing.
Yeah.
Except for losing to Northampton. Did you watch that match? I listened to it on the radio, just in disbelief.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Northampton weren't just a championship side, they were 17th in League 2.
And they had the same possession, didn't they?
Northampton were genuinely the better side.
I've seen in the paper as well, and it looked at Northampton's lineup, lineup, yeah. And not one of the players cost Northampton anything. All the players that they got are free.
Really?
Free transfers, yeah.
Blimmin' heck.
God, well played there.
Beating Liverpool 2-1. It wasn't a terrible Liverpool side that they fielded, to be fair.
It wasn't terrible, was it? They had some good play. They played Pacheco, didn't they?
But it probably wasn't as good as a Champions League side, though. That's
it wasn't as good as a Champions League side, but
comma league.
What do you mean?
Championship team.
Got you. No, Liverpool, yeah, they probably were equivalent to a top championship side, weren't they? But they just shouldn't be losing to Northampton.
No, I
think the fans have got every reason to be unhappy, but I don't think they should be impatient because Hodgson's proven himself as a good manager.
Yeah.
They've got some sodding good players. Do you know what bothers me when people question Torres' commitment? Because he doesn't have to be there.
No.
He could be anywhere in the world he wants to be, but he stayed at Liverpool because he loves the fans. And some of the fans, only some, question his commitment. And they do it with Reina as well.
The fact that he's still there.
Yeah, he's been bloody loyal to those
guys. Did score an onside goal.
Was it onside?
It was level. He wasn't offside.
His foot was offside, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that doesn't count. It's got to be clear air between.
Yeah, don't you give
that? That's the old rule. The rule nowadays is any part of your body that can play the ball.
But I think you give the forward the advantage.
As far as I'm concerned, you do give the benefit of the doubt to the forward.
Sure,
it was a close call because you can't say, I think his foot was offside. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was only his foot that was offside. As he was running, his foot wasn't even on the ground, was it?
The linesman's not using a replay, is he? He's making the decision based on it. They are difficult decisions to get right, aren't they?
But I think at the moment, I thought that the thing that Liverpool were going for was the Carling Cup. I reckon this is where they should have started, and the fact that they've got out of it is terrible.
But you think they should have been really going for it?
I think they really should have been going, because they're not going to win the FA Cup, they're not going to win Champions League, no chance, not even in it. They're not going to win the Europa League. You know, they might try and sneak into the Champions League. They're not going to win the Europa League.
Let us play, we're a massive club.
We've got on
going. Can I say about Darren Bent as well?
Yeah,
I think Darren Bent should be in the England setup, and I don't know why he's not.
He's top notch, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just a goal scoring
again. To quote something on Five Live, that I heard as well. Someone says, I don't know what it is, but Darren Bent's got it. It always happens for him wherever he is. It didn't quite at Tottenham.
No, not at Tottenham. They paid 19 million
finish for England when he scored for England. That was a beautiful finish.
He is just straight up class.
Yeah. Last season, he scored 25 goals last season.
And he didn't get on the England.
And that was for a team that just avoided relegation.
Yeah.
So to score that,
and he's doing it again. The season, what he scored about five.
He scored about five
this season, which isn't a bad thing for it, like you said, for Sunderland.
I can't believe he's still there.
I've been saying it since about 2005. It must have been. I was saying it to my mum every single time an England squad comes out. I've been like, "Where's Darren Bent?
Yeah.
Where's Darren Bent? He's Jermaine Defoe, but better." Mm. And obviously you can't say that now because Jermaine Defoe got a hat trick against a really bad side.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to say something about Ryan Babel, Aaron?
I don't
know. Ryan Babel's rapping.
I cringe saying it. I can't even get the words out.
You know he's a rapper.
He's a rapper.
You know, we had Asamoah Gyan rapping, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, God.
And now he's got, what do you think of him as well as a player?
Asamoah Gyan?
Yeah.
He's a rapper.
Don't really know. From what I've seen of him so far, he's been decent.
Yeah.
But he's starting on the bench, isn't he?
Yeah, at the moment he is, but like you said, he's not going to take Darren Bent's place.
I thought Sunderland would be going for like a rigid 4-4-2, trying to get two backs of four behind it, and then like big man Gyan at the risk of Ryan.
Well back, aren't they?
They're playing well back out on the wing at the moment, aren't they? I think.
I thought he started up front.
Did he start up front for him?
I'm pretty sure he started up front against Liverpool.
Oh, El Mohamedy was out on the right, wasn't he? Yeah. He's looking a good player as well. I think Steve Bruce has a real talent for finding players.
I think
Palacios and Valencia.
Yeah. I really think he's good at it. I miss the 4-4-2 days.
Do you?
I do, I really do. You know me on FIFA, it's 4-4-2. Two strikers, bam, everything just as it is.
You remind me of Mike Bassett, England manager.
I'm just basic. I'm a grafter.
We'll be playing 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was a few other matches, not too entertaining ones, but we'll go through them. Everton drew 0-0 at Fulham. Do you think Mark Hughes tries to draw matches all the time? Do you think he's got a bet on with himself?
Yeah. That's just his, like... just wants to draw a game.
I think it's something like out of his last 12 matches, if you include City, 10 of them have been draws. He just loves it, doesn't he?
His wife says no sex unless
you get a draw. It's a good point for him though, because they got the two best strikers missing out, old Bobby Z and Jem Bele, who's looked an absolute signing. What do we make of David Moyes? Is he escaping criticism too easily, or does his record mean that he should get cut some slack
because I think his record says he's a good manager.
Yeah.
But just this season though, I mean, before the season started, I think it was Alex Ferguson said Everton are going to be the surprise team this season. They're going to be breaking into the top four.
I said in the last podcast before you came on that I thought Everton would finish fourth. And it's just they always start badly, but they normally have an excuse, don't they? But this time there is no excuse.
It seems to me that the players just don't give a shit. It doesn't seem like it's anything to do with the team you put out. It seems to be the players.
Yeah, they've got a really decent side. Yeah. I think you look at the team, they've got a decent team.
Do you think it's a question of them not caring?
It just seems to be to me. It seems to be.
I know that players like Steven Pienaar just do nothing defensively at all. Like, all the goals that come against Everton come because he's not tracking the fullback, Steven Pienaar.
Yeah. It seems like they just want to score. And they're not thinking about the game.
There's just a feeling of inevitability. Sorry, that they're going to come good, aren't they, and finish like ninth.
Yeah, true. Because they were brilliant.
I think they'll finish top half.
Do you think he just needs 15-20 million for like a great striker, and then they'll be sorted?
Yeah, they struggle with a striker.
They've got Beckford, who's he's not a Premier League quality. He might be, but he needs to have a year in the reserves first, doesn't he? And they've got Yakubu, who is like turning into a bit of a joke. And then they've got Saha, who,
is a joke.
Yeah, falls out of his window and stuff all the time. I think they'll come good. And I think Mark Hughes is unbeaten now at Fulham, still.
Is he?
Yes. So, all props to him.
Yeah.
I think it was great of him. Like we said last time, didn't we, that him to come in and not change much. He's got a real lack of an ego. He's just doing what's best for the club.
Do you know, I'd love to see Mark Hughes move to one team, like say Sunderland or something, and then Mancini move to Fulham, and then it's just like a circle of City managers just going around the Premier League.
Do you think it will be? Yeah. We'll end up with 17. Speaking of circles of managers, David Moyes for the next United manager.
No.
What would you say? Would you not say so? No. Don't you reckon that's likely?
I think it's likely, yeah. I mean, I think he's a good manager. He's not too old.
He's an angry Scotsman.
Yeah, he's an angry Scotsman. And, I think he's got a good record, hasn't
he?
He said he's going to get the hairdryer treatment out as well.
He said he's going to start kicking off again. Back to the old ways, he said. He sounded like he was going back to hooliganism from the 80s.
Would you not like to see Martin O'Neill as the next England manager? The next United manager, sorry.
Nah, I'm not mad on O'Neill.
O'Neill reminds me of a Brian Clough sort of manager.
Yeah.
I think he is good.
But he's a great manager, he's in a bit of a knock.
I just want Mourinho. You know me, I like the flash.
Yeah,
but what's Mourinho in gold chains coming down?
As we said, we'll speak about a big Mazza in a bit.
I love Mazza.
West Ham beat Spurs 1-0 for the first league win under Avram Grant.
I haven't heard an Avram Grant win in about 30 years. I've heard him going down in clubs. I just know wins.
They got one in the Carling Cup, didn't they?
Oh yeah.
That was midweek. That was the first win of the season.
Yeah.
And that's a great win, isn't it? 1-0 against Spurs.
Yeah, definitely.
Really good.
I mean, Spurs have been let down twice this season. They got beat off Wigan as well.
Yeah, I know. That was at home, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of Spurs.
Most inconsistent team I've seen. Yeah. I mean, for the level. I mean, like one of the most inconsistent top teams.
They were in the Champions League.
Yeah. And they're getting beat off Wigan and West Ham.
Yeah.
Nearly bad as United.
It's
a wee draw.
Yeah.
With the Mark Hughes.
You know, United are 3 points behind Chelsea.
I know,
there's a lot of inconsistency going around, and United are part of it. The only difference is Chelsea have been consistent.
The thing is, though, if you think about United, they should be top. Like, not should be, but them the when against Everton, against Fulham.
The way I look at it, they are 2 points more than we gained last season in those games.
To be fair,
because we lost to Everton, we lost to Fulham.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
but we won away at Bolton.
It's well early, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's well early.
Carlton Cole didn't start the match. He was. He looks to have been pushed out the first team. So do you think we'll be seeing a lot of videos of him and his mates playing computer games?
Hopefully, living his talking life. About Tupac and Biggie, reminiscing.
He was on the bench with his headphones and going, "Why? Why? Oh, why?"
Listen to Ryan Babel, bro.
They've got some great forwards at West Ham now. I've always liked Piquion, who came with Grant from Portsmouth. I think he's a really good player.
Yeah,
and they started him up front with Obinna that came from Inter Milan.
I love Scott Parker, mate.
Yeah, oh, well, everyone does, don't
I love Scott Parker. He's probably traditional.
Isn't he, or does he just score insanely good goals against Chelsea? That's two seasons in a row where he's just
he played for Chelsea for a bit, didn't he, Scott Parker?
He did, and did nothing.
Yeah, like they're regretting that.
And then I think he went to Newcastle.
Yeah, and then
did very little there.
Can I ask why Rodwell isn't getting any games at Everton?
He's injured.
Is he injured?
Yeah,
right. Because he was getting big interest.
I think he was out for 3 months. Right. I think he might be back in maybe late November-ish.
I'd love that. I think he's.
Yeah, I want to see him do well. Yeah. I think he looks a bit like Taylor Lautner, you know, Jacob.
Yeah, spot on. Yeah. Oh, that's been racking my brain for ages, who he looks like.
It was a great save from Rob Green in that game. So do you reckon the ghost of the USA game has travelled over to the Emirates and rested in Al Mooney's body? I reckon it has.
I still think Robert Green's a terrible keeper. Yeah, I still think he's a terrible keeper.
Bringing us back down to earth.
Yeah, that's fair,
so, so you wait for Wenger and Rob Green?
Yeah. Like, Rob Green, right, I even from day one when he started coming into the England setup, I was like, I don't like this keeper. I just don't think he's a decent keeper at all.
Not even.
He makes, like you said, he's made a good save, but people are like, say, oh, he's good, but I just don't see it.
There's many better keepers than him.
Yeah. I've never witnessed him being consistently good ever.
Yeah.
You know who is a great keeper? Jaskalainen.
He's always been
brilliant for so many years. It's like the best kept secret in the league, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. No one wants to bought him.
Like, did not.
It's like someone mentions it, they're going to get shot. in the league.
And with that surprise 1-0 win for West Ham, what are your feelings, Rick, about people who've won an accumulator so far this season?
I think not bad, to be fair. I think, like, if you put an accumulator on, right, and, like, you just sort of, sometimes you'll put the bigger teams in just to sort of get the numbers up. Like, you put, oh, Arsenal at home to West Brom, I'm going to put Arsenal win. Obviously, you're not going to you're not going to put a West Brom win, are you, no matter who you are.
Yeah. I'm yet to win an accumulator myself.
Yeah.
I put on so many bets. I put a bet on Birmingham Wigan ending 3 goals or more, and that ended 0-0.
I haven't bet since Barcelona.
And for those who haven't listened to the early podcasts, Barcelona were
3-1 down,
away to Inter Milan, 10 minutes left. Aaron saw the odds of, what was it, 200-1?
It was something, I would have won like 435 quid.
And so he put a few quid on Barcelona to beat Inter Milan at the San Siro when they were 3-1 down.
I haven't bet since then.
Unbelievable. Bellend.
I just see big numbers. I can't help it.
Blackburn versus Blackpool.
Blackpool,
Blackpool lost to a late Blackburn goal. Do you think they're attacking approach? Which is refreshingly attacking, or do you think it's a bit naive?
I love it.
I love Blackpool.
I think I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah, I think they've just come into the Premier League and they're just showing that they can play football, and they're not letting things get them down. Like, they're not getting, they got beat 6-0 by Arsenal, but they're not Arsenal because they're doing what they need to do, aren't they? And beating teams around them.
Exactly.
Aren't they like 5th or 6th?
That's exactly what they need to do. I think they're a bit lower than that now. They've lost. Ian Holloway said, you know, Charlie Adams' own goal that he scored. Did you see what Ian Holloway said in the interview? He said, what a finish. The player's own goal. What a man. I said it on Facebook recently, if there was a sports personality of the year, like, actually based on personality, Ian Holloway would have to win it. Yeah. He's an absolute legend.
You know they don't have wages at Blackpool, they just go on the big one.
Tokens, you get tokens.
Yeah. You get free passes. No wages.
You get a white knuckle wristband in the store.
The way I see their attacking approach is that it might have lost them 2 points there against Blackburn, but like, if they hadn't have gone out at Newcastle and attacked, they wouldn't have won. So call that like a 1 point gain overall. Going out and attacking is what football's about. The fans are entertained.
Even City don't do it.
Exactly.
City have got all that players that can use the flair that they're not using it.
It's because Blackpool, there's no pressure on Blackpool. No. As far as they're concerned, the 20th, and anything higher is like a bonus.
They're not scared of going down. They're expected to go down, aren't they? And if they go down, I don't think they'll be that bothered.
You know, last season they were odds on to go down in the Championship.
Were they?
I reckon if they stay in, they'll no, sorry, I reckon if they carry on playing the way they do, they'll definitely stay in.
Yeah, so do I. I definitely don't think the Wilder
three will stay. I can see them finishing about 14th
round there. Yeah.
They finished 0-0 Birmingham Wigan, but you know I hate Wigan.
Yeah,
I don't think they're a football club, and I think they should be relegated.
Do you think they will get relegated this season?
I said they'll finish 20th, and I still sort of stand by it. They bought Boselli for $6 million. He's on the bench now. He's not even starting because he's a nothing player. You know, like one of these nothing players that comes over from South America and just nothing ends up happening with him.
They're getting a lot of that.
Speaking of great finishes for own goals, did you see Newcastle's own goal from Perch?
No,
I think it was I think it was an own goal where he did a diving header.
Oh right, yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, he had he's the same player that had 5 yellow cards in his first 5 games in the Premier League as well.
So fucking hell.
Great record. I'd like to see him continue it.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him in a Lee Catmull go at it.
I was thinking this. This is a bit off the point, but how a team supposed to? You say if Blackpool got an amazing player.
Yeah,
he'd just go to a better team, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
How a team supposed to get better? Like Blackpool,
it's by developing players that aren't going to be like top class.
It's by developing a great squad and like sort of getting mid-table.
Yeah,
like sort of like Aston Villa have done.
They didn't have
a team of massive players.
Well, they were finishing like 14th, weren't they, before O'Neill came?
And then
they just sort of like kept sort of the same squad, got mediocre players, and just sort of built the way up. And then now they think, oh, Aston Villa, they're a solid 6.
To use one of my typical metaphors, it's like if you live in a rough area, you want to buy some nice trainers, but you don't want to buy them so nice that someone robs them.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of thing, isn't it? Villa played Wolves, didn't they, in 1-2-1. Yeah.
With a Heskey scoring.
Heskey's third goal in 4 games. Aaron, England call-up.
Exactly. Coolier manager.
Get him on that plane.
It's his best scoring record since
ages. Yeah. Do you think Coolier thinks he's like gone into some kind of hot tub time machine? Because he's come back to England and Heskey's scoring a winner. Owen's getting the goal for an equaliser. Nothing's changed.
But I think Heskey's his favourite player with him. He bought Heskey at Liverpool for Liverpool's record signing at the time. I think it was like $12 million.
Yeah, that's right.
from Leicester.
I think he's bringing back the old, because like 4-4-2's coming back and everything. I think you'll see like.
Do you think the old school's coming back?
Yeah.
Manager's
going to rise from the
Brian
dead.
Clough, yeah,
Brian Clough's going to come back.
Bring Middlesbrough.
He keeps popping up today, Brian Clough.
I love Brian Clough. I watched that Damn United. I loved it.
Yeah, I've not seen it.
Have you never seen it?
No. It's really good. I was going to read the book. Because you know, I'm educated.
Because you get your glasses on.
All Brighton was great for old Aston Villa.
I think
he's
an absolute great player. I really do think he is.
The future's looking really bright for England's wingers, isn't it?
I mean, he's 20 years old, isn't he?
Is he only 20?
He's 20 years old, yeah, so he's younger than us.
Yeah. Oh, don't say that.
Not even me, I'm alright. Yeah. I'm alright.
But like, I think there's a couple of mistakes that he said that you can say, but from a 20-year-old, you expect it, don't you? But the balls he was putting in, he could have set up about 4 goals that game.
In the aftermath of the World Cup, like there seems to be like a lot of talk about, especially from me, about how England don't have any technically gifted players. But now you look at the players, like Huddleston is like a great technical player, and then you've got Wilshere, you've got Adam Johnson, and you've got Albrighton.
There's a starting midfield for you.
I think it's since the last World Cup. I don't think it's since like the last World Cup.
That's what we're concentrating on more now, isn't it? Because we're thinking 4 years time.
Half the team is going to be gone
pretty much.
And I hope it is as well. Yeah. I don't want to see John Terry starting. No. I'm still depressed that I'm older than Albright.
I know Albright. He's a real, like, he works, and he works.
He's fast. He's strong.
He's good at defending as well.
He's not unlike Milner, is he?
No.
No, that's spot on.
No, he's a good player. I think he's something to look out for in the future.
Yeah,
definitely.
Listen, this stuff about Wolves being a dirty team that's been going around is all nonsense, isn't it? They're not a dirty side.
No, they're not.
Not Matt McCarthy's team, no chance.
he's a style master.
He's
isn't
an Owen Coyle.
It all stems from Carl Henry, I think, just doing like really bad tackles all the time. you know, United aren't a team of divers just because Nani is.
United aren't a team of dirty players just because Scholes is.
As Wenger would say, he did another one as well against Bolton, didn't he, Scholes?
He doesn't have a game, I think he's not. I think he'd be like stupid if he didn't.
I think that's what charges him up. I think he's like Superman needs the sun to have powers. Scholes needs to do bad tackles.
Does Superman need the sun?
Yeah,
didn't know that.
You don't know that?
I don't know.
Christians need the son of God. Right, we've done the Premier League, and now we're going to delve into the Premier League.
What about Stoke? I want to talk about Stoke and Kenwyn Jones.
You don't want to talk about Stoke.
You love Kenwyn Jones?
I love Kenwyn Jones. I think he's absolutely amazing.
On his day, he is, isn't he? Like, he's unplayable, as pundits say.
He's tall, he's strong, yeah. He'll win every single header, no matter who he's heading against. There's no one that will win a header against Kevin Jones.
It was a header that he scored with, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think he scored like,
was that 2-1 at Newcastle?
Yeah. I think he scores like 90% of his goals with his head.
It won't surprise me. He is,
and when they're on the floor, he's just like, fucking get in there.
£8 million.
Yeah, which is, I think that's an absolute bargain.
So do I.
They were criticised at first, right? They're still for paying £8 million for him, but I think, what a bargain.
He's looking worth it, especially considering Stoke's approach. Like, you know, like the way they just pump balls into the box, don't
I think
they?
Stoke are going to... Obviously, they'll stay, I think they'll definitely stay for the season.
Do you think they're out to stay now?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I think, like, they've got, like, a good setup. They've got good support and they've
got a great manager.
Yeah.
Tony Pulis is just a top guy, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And I just think that they'll... I think they'll just get better and better, to be honest.
I think they get a bad reputation for the football because they do knock it long and they do play big men up front, but I think they play some good stuff as well.
Yeah, they do. And defensive-wise, they're pretty solid.
Yeah, they are. Even
at their stadium, the Britannia Stadium.
Remember when he bought Robert Huth like from Middlesbrough? It was like, that's a great signing. Yeah. Like, you know, he's done a few, and he got Tuncha, he got Good Johnson.
Yeah,
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he got Good Johnson. I don't think he should have left Spurs, mate. I don't understand that, what happened there.
I don't get why he's not getting played.
He's not getting played at Stoke, either.
No. I think you should be playing him off Kevin Jones.
I'd play him at United.
he's really good.
He's a great player. Yeah. Most of last season, he was at Tottenham. He probably started about 3 games, but I think he scored 3 goals or whatever.
When he came on for like 20 minutes, like in like big games and stuff, he was doing really well.
Yeah, he's the sort of player that can change a game, doesn't he? Even when he was at
Chelsea.
Years ago, he was one of the best players at the time, wasn't
definitely.
He?
Oh, the mighty four.
Yeah. Who do you reckon is going down in the league? I know it's too early.
I can only, if I was guessing, I'd say Wigan, and then it's a choice between like any of nine, really.
I'd like to say Wigan, West Brom.
You reckon West Brom are still going down?
Yeah, I think West Brom will go down, even though they got a result against Arsenal.
Yeah. You think Newcastle are here to stay?
West Ham going down.
I think Newcastle are here to stay. Yeah, West Ham could be one of them. Or
they're looking good now, though.
Why? Because they won one game.
Two games.
Two more than Avram Grant.
There's no way of knowing, but who's going down? But we're going down to the Championship now.
I think this needs someone give
me some credit for that link.
What did you link?
Talking about who's going down and who's going down to the Championship. You were both supposed to go. Well done, Paul.
Well done, Paul.
Cheers.
I think this needs a jingle.
It does need a jingle.
It does need a jingle.
I'll get on it, don't
me
you
and Rick
worry.
Can sing.
I'm just getting the stopwatch up right now. Right, I am gonna.
Do you want me to time it? Yeah, go on.
Yes, I do. I am gonna cover the Championship action in 60 seconds.
Right,
this is a. I'll tell you when to start. This is a big challenge. I'm gonna be doing this every week.
Yeah, Guinness Book of Records down for this. this is definitely something. Right, tell me when.
Right, 3, 2, 1. Right, Friday night saw Portsmouth record a 6-1 win over Leicester at Fratton Park, leaving the crisp-munching bastards bottom of the league. Watford scored 3 in the first 20 minutes to sink Middlesbrough in their struggling Scotsman, and Reading bagged 3 in the last 20 minutes to beat Barnsley. Scunthorpe shared a 1-0 draw at home to Roy Keane's high-flying Ipswich, while Bristol got a good point away to Burnley with a 0-0. Coventry failed to come back from 2 first-half Preston goals, the Lilywhites recording only their second league win of the season. Leeds got an 83rd-minute winner at home to Sheffield United, courtesy of Johnson, in a game that saw 2 red cards in the last 4 minutes. And continuing the late goals theme were Hull, who got goals in the 83rd and 88th to win away at Norwich. And Swansea's 90th-minute goal was brilliantly from the brilliantly named Van der Gun was a mere consolation as he went down 3-1 away at Nottingham Forest. Andy Keogh got the decisive goal for Cardiff in 2-1 win over everybody's favourite lovable scamps, Millwall. And Derby County kick-started their season with a 5-0 win at home to Palace. And finally, Derby remained the only team to have taken points off league leaders QPR, who survived a few first-half scares and eventually ran at 3-1 winners over Doncaster, courtesy of 2 goals from Gorks and a penalty from the division best player, Adel Taarabt.
Oh!
What was it?
56!
Yes!
56-63.
Get in.
God, my head's gone dead red. That was amazing. I was so tense.
Do you think any one of the listeners will have actually heard what I was saying?
No. I didn't really.
I didn't hear any of it. I was just like, come on!
It's always a good radio feature, when people can't hear what you're saying.
Yeah. No, I love the 60, you know, the news in 60 seconds. I understand that more than the news.
Yeah, but they're trained to speak. I've got a horrible voice.
No, that was beautiful. I reckon, you know, just slow-mo it a bit on your iTunes. If you can do that on my high tech iTunes.
Right, folks, calm down.
Oh, I can't.
It's time for a bit of a La Liga roundup. If anything will calm you down, it'll be Barcelona.
No, they get me riled.
I don't know, when they've got so much possession, they'll calm you down. Yes. It was a 3-1 win away at Athletic Bilbao for them, and the noise inside that stadium, I think it's called San Mamés, was absolutely insane.
Apparently it wasn't an easy 3-1 win, though.
It definitely wasn't an easy 3-1 win. It was like Bilbao went down to 10 men just before the half-time mark, and it was probably deserved, but even then, like, they were struggling, but they had 75% of the possession away against probably the fifth best team in the league. That is unbelievable. That is insane.
It's like Arsenal do that.
Arsenal don't have 75%.
No, I don't think anyone in the world has 75%.
I've never even seen 75%.
Against Hercules when they lost 2-0 Barcelona.
When you say Hercules, I just get one guy mad.
Like Hercules. they had 80% possession.
No, some teams like United against like a low fucking championship team won't even get.
Yeah, no, it's madness.
Probably because we play baby and do shit.
2-1 up, match is nearly over. David Villa raises his hand to an opposition player's face, sent off, straight red card. Why would you put your hand in a player's face?
You wouldn't.
You just wouldn't.
No, you're just stupid.
You just don't know what. I bet you get different feelings though in a football match.
I mean, you get so much like.
I understand the competitive edge. But there wasn't a competitive edge here because they
were cruising through a victory.
They were cruising,
much, yeah.
Big time.
It's like moaning over a foul, when you're 3-1 up or something. There's just no need. But that's obviously worse.
It's proper unnecessary. But I mean, they've got the win, but that means for their next game in the league. Yeah. Apparently, Messi might be back, but if he's not, like that's Messi and Villa out.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to start with like Pedro, Bojan and Iniesta up front, which are three really good players. So I don't know what I'm on about.
Would you say that like the Spanish have the best atmospheres in the world?
I don't know. The Nou Camp can be like really, really dead sometimes. Yeah. Well, you know, like,
it's
unless
too big, isn't it? I mean, so
exactly.
Sometimes it can be like the best place in the world to be. But if it's like a game which isn't of high importance, you've got 90,000 people in there and it's like just huge.
Like the
place.
Emirates.
People say that you'd play worse away, right? I'd play so much better. I'd be like, way! If I scored, I'd be proper trying.
If I can relate it back to a metaphor, is it like when you go to a party of like someone you don't really know and you just like drink all their beer and get absolutely fucked in
exactly,
their ass?
Yeah. You know, just smashing the thing, doing the conga,
still
kicking everyone over. Bring mobiles off the house, but.
Yeah, I don't see Barcelona losing at home again.
I want
season.
A list of your metaphors, by the way. A list of them.
I bring out a book.
You bring
because I read books because I'm educated. Real Madrid had another 0-0 draw at the hands of Levante.
Ooh.
And Levante have spent €0 in the time that Real Madrid have spent 500 million.
Just 500 million, isn't it?
That's insane.
500 million.
And the pressure is really starting to mount on Real now, because if that was 3-3, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But because it's Real Madrid, they demand attacking football.
They didn't score a goal.
They've like the three away games now. It's been 0-0, 0-0, and 2-1 away to Real Sociedad. They were a terrible side. Ronaldo had 9 shots and only looked like scoring one of them.
Were they just like desperate?
Yeah, it's just every time they get into a good position, Ronaldo's just shooting.
He just wants to shoot. He just wants to try and score that one goal, doesn't he? Like,
there he does.
He's seen a psychologist though, isn't he? Like he's not happy. Because you know he said there's two. Because think you buy a player for 80 million, obviously you're going to expect a lot of him. And because he, I don't think he can handle that.
I think last season though he did well, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
He was really good last season.
It's just he's got a goal for a game, hasn't he?
Yeah,
pretty much. It's just this season. Something seems to have got to him. I think it's like Cassie's wife.
Yeah, Cassie's wife.
Have you seen her?
No.
She could get to me anytime she wants. I'll tell you a lot last
time. Can I tell you, right? You've got all these wags and stuff. Do you know who's the best looking wife I've ever seen? Tom Brady of the New England Patriots. He's going out with a girl called Giselle, right? Giselle
the supermodel?
Giselle the supermodel.
Oh, she used to go out with Leonardo DiCaprio.
See there?
This has just turned into the campest podcast.
I just want to point out that Paul, right, has some ice cream on his fucking windowsill outside that is growing stuff. It's moving. It's just Rick. That is disgusting, isn't it?
Demons just flew out when I opened the top.
Pal,
what is the point of it?
Right, Aaron.
I want to know
football.
All right.
One last thing on the Liga.
Go on.
Valencia are top of the league.
That's shocking.
That's great stuff.
I'm loving it.
It's
great stuff, but not for like us thinking about United playing all
that. Yeah,
yeah. I do think United are in for a really tough time.
I think they're
going
to get beat. I've said it.
They've got some great players, Valencia. You know, I think they've still got Ever Banega, who's a mint player, and they've got Mata as well.
Who's that really beefy looking guy? He's got a bit of a big head.
Rick's mum. <They're>, a quick roundup of elsewhere in Europe. Roma lost a tight contest with Inter Milan. It was Inter's first league defeat under Benitez, which is Rafa Benitez managing Inter Milan. Weird.
Yeah, because I don't understand why Inter Milan did it, because they're like the team that won the Champions League and they won the league title, and yet they employ someone like Rafael Benitez, who's just had the worst two leagues.
Yeah, he can't seem to win a league anymore.
Everyone seems to have forgot about that when they went to win, didn't they? It was just like, yeah, he's got a big name, whatever.
In England, it seems to have just been like, Rafa's gone, forget about it.
Yeah.
But they're equal top still, isn't it? But like, that's bad for them, because they're normally like 10 points clear.
And they lost that, what did they lose, that cup? They lost the cup against
Athletic Madrid.
The Super Cup. Which isn't, you know, no one gives a shit about that. United lost it to Zenit, but yeah. I reckon, you know, he should have been wanting to win that, shouldn't he, with his first game.
Do you remember Paul Scholes and Ball in that match?
I was pissing myself at that.
And then he put his shirt over his face because he was embarrassed, didn't he?
Yeah. Did he do it? Sure. Why did he do it?
I haven't a clue.
You ask him.
Because then he would ban for 3 matches, won't he, from the Champions League?
That is hilarious.
That is hilarious. Speaking of hilarious, Zebra scored a 1-0. Scored in a 1-0 win for AC Milan with a proper mint lob.
He's doing good.
He is doing well, and I wish he wasn't. Have you seen the video of him kicking a teammate in the head?
No.
He's just walking around. It's like he's looking for someone, and then he just boots someone in the head.
Just for a laugh.
Yeah, just for a laugh. And then he looks at him like, "What's happening?" And then he runs off and starts having a laugh with Ronaldinho. Yeah.
He's such a knobhead.
He just alienates everyone. He started having a go at Arrigo Sacchi, the Milan legend. Yeah. But after the match, like Arrigo Sacchi said, you wouldn't have scored after it was against when they beat Auxerre in the Champions League.
Yeah.
He said, like, you wouldn't have scored that if you didn't have such big feet. It was like a joke. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, well, people who talk too much, they just talk too much. And then yeah,
it's like a comeback, bro.
Well said. And then he was like, you're one of them that needs to shut your mouth. And then he was like, and then Arrigo Sacchi was like, I'm a Milan legend, let me explain.
Yeah.
And I'm Arrigo Sacchi. And then Ibrahimovic was like, no, you don't need to explain anything to me. And then he's like, you need to learn some manners.
Fucking hell.
That is like Hernandez coming to United now and just like kicking Bobby Charlton in the head.
Yeah.
Just don't do it, do you? And there was a big game in Germany as well, Bayern beaten at home by Mainz, who were nothing before this season. They were doing a bit of a hull. But they're not just doing a hole, the top of the league after 6 games, 6 wins. And
football's going mental lately, isn't it?
It is. Football has gone absolutely crazy.
We did a podcast at the right time.
That's actually a theory that's supported by a certain man, Andre Arshavin, as we're going to see now in Take About Son's bitter Twitter. Did you hear those birds then, Aaron?
That put me in a right good mood.
Made you feel like you're on a warm summer's day.
I can't smell the ice cream anymore.
Yeah. Arshavin's been supporting your theory that every team's decent. You know, that theory you developed at the World Cup.
Yeah, I did.
There's no such thing as a bad football team anymore.
There's not.
This was his tweet, and he's just... Usually, he's always mental. The post is my enemy. I must make it my friend. It would seem that there are not so many soft teams in this season, except Liverpool, of course.
Fighting so hard.
He's just constantly kicking off. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I love him though.
So
I love him for that. I
find him so frustrating on the pitch. He just drifts in and out of games, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's not there for half an hour.
Arshavin, I think, could be one of the best players in the world. I think.
Yeah.
He's fast. He's got everything that you need from the position he plays in.
Yeah. Strength for his size as well.
He just drifts, doesn't he? Like,
yeah, he does.
Just drifts, this spot on.
It's like he's listening to them birds tweeting.
Yeah.
He's trying to find them.
And just one last little bit of Twitter. Stan Collymore was kicking off with kids for no apparent reason, saying that he went to school unlike so many these days. Which is a direct quote.
Where's he got that from?
I've no idea what he means, but
stop going around schools.
Old Michael Cox of Zonal Marking, that I've already referenced once this this podcast, picked him up on putting an apostrophe in the word ultras where it shouldn't have been, and he said, I thought you went to school unlike so many these days.
Oh.
And then Stan Collymore blocked him.
Oh, I'd be so happy with that.
The last time Stan Collymore blocked someone, it was blocking Ulrika Johnson physically, wasn't it? And then she ended up with a few bruises on her.
I hate Stan Collymore. He hates Match of the Day, doesn't he?
Does he?
He wants to change. He doesn't like the way it is. He said it needs changing. And so do a lot of people, actually.
Do you know what bothered me? Everyone says it's $2 and no one expresses an opinion. And then when Alan Hansen expressed an opinion about Theo Walcott not having a footballing brain, everyone went mental at him.
Yeah.
Just let him say what he thinks.
Yeah. Don't complain about it afterwards.
It's an opinion ended.
Exactly.
That's what you watch Match of the Day for, isn't it?
Alan Shearer's infuriated people, hasn't he, saying that no one knows who Hatem Ben Arfa is.
Yeah.
He said that on Match of the Day. He said, no one knows anything about it. It's like, you mean except those times he played for France?
Yeah.
Seriously, sir?
You absolute bell.
God. Why Shearer, aren't it?
he's not a pundit, is he? He's a nice man.
He says the same thing in different ways.
He says something
the other
day as well.
Something baffling.
He said something and then he said, oh no, and then he's like, he made a complete mistake and then someone said, no, it's this. He was like, oh, okay, then, blah, blah, blah. But I can't remember what it was. It was on Match of the Day too.
I remember
that should happen quite a lot.
It probably does.
Yeah.
That discussion of, you know, what Hansen was saying about Walcott's footballing brain.
Yeah.
Shearer was like, he is only 21.
Only 21.
And then, only 21. Only 21. It's like, how old is he, Alan? Tell us again. Before we go to our betting section, like a bunch of old men, just going to have a quick word on Beckham. Have you seen what Beckham's been up to in La Galaxy?
No.
like a prostitute fakely accused him of sleeping with
oh,
her.
Oh yeah, and he'd
the papers, and he's suing her and that.
$5 million
He was walking past a fan when they were playing the New York Red Bulls on Friday night, and he said, and this fan said, "What are you doing with prostitutes, David? What are you doing with prostitutes, David? You know, like having a go at him." Beckham turned round, fury on his face, you know, because he already had a go at one fan over there, hasn't he? Fury on his face, went up to this fan, saw that he had an LA Galaxy shirt on, and he went, "You're supposed to be a fan. You're supposed to be a fan." Turned round, but then got even angry and went back and went, "Say it to my face," and like had to be held back and stuff.
Jesus, I didn't see that. I love that.
I know, great, innit?
I love David Beckham. I love him.
Give it back. Like I said it in our first podcast. You can't shout at players and not expect them to shout back.
No, you can't. And the players get in trouble.
60,000 people singing racist chants at Adebayor, and then when he slides in front of him, he's a mad bastard.
Winds me up so much. I was well happy when he did that.
Yeah, same. And like, I'm
same when I was happy when someone threw a bottle at Bellamy.
It's like Jason Manford said, isn't it? Like, he said if I got paid $80,000 a week, like I'd go out into a stadium. Like you're an abed, thanks guys. See you next week.
He goes, your mum's an abed, yeah, but you should see her house.
Right, quickly before we finish, it's take a bet, son.
Yep.
I am going for a double this week. I'm going for Stoke to beat Blackburn at home, you know, because like Blackburn aren't very good away, and Stoke are great at home. Mm-hmm. But Blackburn did nearly beat City away, which is what you said.
Yeah,
but
nearly
doesn't win you money in this business. No. So that's my first bet, and I'm going to have Tottenham to do the same to Villa because I think Tottenham are just due a solid win. That's that's a double at 3-1.
And I'm going for Arsenal to beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. I know it's at Stamford Bridge. Don't get your knickers in a twist. I know where it is, but it's 4-1, and that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, that is quite good odds.
Very good odds.
But Arsenal never beat Chelsea away.
They're going to beat them today. Not today. They're going to beat them beat them up today.
give them food pies, isn't it?
And
what are you going for, right?
I'm going for City beating Newcastle at home. I want some easy bet. I want to get the money on the board.
Ah, right. See, and that's 5-2 on. But yeah, at least you won't lose money.
Yeah.
Because they'll almost definitely win that match, won't they? Although, like Newcastle have been very unpredictable, haven't they?
Yeah, you just don't know.
Winning games you should lose, and losing games they should win.
Yeah.
Andy Carroll, you never know.
Yeah. Well, that concludes it for this week. We'll see you next week. Just say bye for me, Mr. Aaron Richards.
Bye for me, Mr. Aaron Richards.
Yeah. That one.
See ya.
Yeah. Bye from me. Toodles.
Bye.